Now, as we continue with our studies in the book of Exodus, our lesson from chapter 15. In our last study, we went as far as verse 21 in this chapter, dealing with the song of Moses and the echo of the chorus led by Miriam. But now today we'll start at verse 22 and read from there through verse 27. Exodus chapter 15, verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. They went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord. The Lord showed him a tree, which, when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 pan trees, and they encamped there by the waters. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Now let us bow for a moment of prayer. Blessed God, our Father, we approach thy holy presence in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the only way of approach that we know to thee. For he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So we come to thee today to present to thee our petitions with thanksgivings. We thank thee for every blessing thou hast bestowed upon us, for thou art the giver of every good and every perfect gift. But we beseech of thee that thou wilt look down in mercy upon us at this very moment. Grant that every listener shall have the opened ear ready to hear, and the opened heart ready to receive thy word. O God, wilt thou give spiritual wisdom to each one? May thy blessings be their portion, for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, in coming to this particular passage of the Word of God, I find it most interesting. You will notice now, at this particular junction in the history of Israel, Egypt is behind them. In fact, Egypt is now simply a memory. They can think of Egypt now as the place where they were in bondage, the place of their enslavement. That's behind them. But Canaan, the promised land, lies before them, with all its blessings, the things that God has promised them. Canaan lies before them in order to be possessed, but they'll have to enter in and possess the land and enjoy the things that God has not only promised them, but has prepared for them. But now, between Egypt and Canaan, there lies the wilderness. Now, in the wilderness, God is with them. He is there in their midst in order to guide them, and to guard them, and to encourage them in the midst of all the difficulties. Now, in this particular passage that I have read today, there are three things I would like to impress upon every listener. Number one, we find the wilderness and the need for direction. That's verse 22. And then we find a place called Mara with its disappointment. Verses 23 through 26. Then at verse 27, we have Elam with its delights. Now think of these three things now as we study the passage. Passing through a wilderness, we need direction. We come to Mara with its disappointments. We come to Elam with its delights. Think now of the wilderness and the need for direction. Perhaps you've often sung that little chorus, or you've listened to people sing it. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. And how true that is. The Lord knew exactly the way that he was leading them. You see, we are not always in the green pastures. And we're not always beside the still waters. Oh, it's so good to read the 23rd Psalm. It's so good to think of these precious things in the Word of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me. He leadeth me in the green pastures and beside the still waters. That's perfectly true. But we're not always in the green pastures. And we're not always beside the still waters. But no matter where it may be, wherever the Lord leads, it must be the right way, and it must be the best way. In verse 22, it says, So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. You see, after all, we must learn this, that in the wilderness, leadership is required. That's the first lesson we learn after we've left the place of bondage. Now remember, this isn't simply a historical record of what happened to Israel. It is that, of course, basically, but that's not all. It is conveying a message to us, living now in the 20th century. Perhaps a number of my listeners today can look back to a time when they were held in the bondage of sin. And you had no way, you had no power to deliver yourself from that awful bondage. You were held like a slave, like a captive. But there came the day when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, and you experienced that great liberty, and you could sing, O happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad, and life seemed to you like the dawning of a new day. You were walking, as it were, on thin air. But you suddenly realized that while you had been delivered from the bondage of sin and delivered from the bondage of Satan, that this old world to you was still a wilderness. Now, he led them out into the wilderness, and they went a 3 days' journey. Now, remember this. After being delivered from the bondage of Egypt, it was necessary for the Israelites to get the right direction. They had to be directed. Now, it was Moses who was their leader at that time, so Moses led them. But then, let me remind you, he led them out. Because the start of the pilgrim life is always a going out. Now, when you were saved, when you became a Christian, you were led out from the bondage of sin. But then he led them a 3 days' journey. You acknowledge this, of course, when you think of the 3 days' journey. It always reminds you of resurrection. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ was put to death, was buried, and was raised again on the third day. And if you and I are associated now with Christ, or we've been associated with him in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection, and according to the teaching of Romans chapter 6 in the New Testament, why, we're living in newness of life. But if it's 3 days' journey from the place of bondage out to the place of liberty, remember this, we need some leadership. They had to be led. And if they required to be led, so we also require to be led. He led them out, and he led them on. The second thing to be acknowledged is the lordship here. We must acknowledge lordship. Leadership, yes. Lordship, that must be acknowledged. It was the Lord who sheltered them in Egypt. It was the Lord who delivered them through the Red Sea. Now, if the Lord sheltered them on the night of the Passover, and the Lord delivered them, saved them through the Red Sea, saved them from the hand of Pharaoh, saved them out of Pharaoh's land, then they must now acknowledge his authority or lordship. See, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, as I have indicated, speaks of the power of resurrection. They must acknowledge the lordship of Christ. Let me press this home upon all my listeners today. I have found this in conversation with many Christians. I have found this in my movements and in my ministry. A great number of people who claim to be Christians, and I don't doubt their salvation one little bit. I don't doubt that they have trusted the Lord for their salvation. But when it comes to living the Christian life, they are not prepared to bow to the lordship of Christ. Do you know that in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, he mentions the Lord no fewer than 70 times in that epistle? And the reason seems to be that the people who were in Corinth, the Christians, mark you, those who formed the Christian church in Corinth, were refusing to acknowledge the lordship of Christ. They were simply doing their own thing. And the church at Corinth was in a state of chaos. They stood to be corrected, all because they would not acknowledge the lordship of Christ. Now, in the day in which we live, I discover this, that a great number of professing Christians will not bow to the lordship of Christ. That is, they will not let him be Lord of everything. And so right here, in verse 22 of Exodus 15, these people, the children of Israel, out in the wilderness, they needed direction. And for that direction, there had to be leadership. Leadership was required. Lordship had to be acknowledged. Now, what is the lesson to be learned? Simply this, that life is sustained by confidence in God. And God is able to sustain life in the barren wilderness of this world. Don't rely, my friend, on what you bring from Egypt. For example now, when the children of Israel left Egypt, they brought with them certain supplies. But these supplies ran out in 3 days' time. Because they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. The water bottles they brought with them had run out. You see, we must learn our lesson. In our unconverted days, there was something we didn't know. We didn't know this, that it was in God we lived and moved and had our very being. The very breath that's in our nostrils, we depend on God for that every day. God could snuff out that life at any moment. People don't realize that they're dependent on God for the very breath that they draw. But now the unsaved don't know that, I'm sure. But let us come now to those who have professed to trust Christ. If we have learned the truth that we are dependent upon God for our normal, everyday life, how much more are we dependent upon Him for the things of the new life? You cannot sustain the new life if you've been born again. You cannot sustain that new life with the things that you bring from the world. They brought their water bottles, but their water gave out. See, after 3 days, when you get onto resurrection ground, you discover what you need is spiritual sustenance. And for that, we must rely on God. It is God who sustains us. You can be sustained by the milk of the Word. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. That's what Peter said. And Paul said, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up. So in the wilderness, we need leadership. In the wilderness, we must acknowledge lordship. In the wilderness, we must learn this lesson that we are absolutely dependent upon God. Don't depend on the things of the world to sustain you in the Christian life. Now, the second thing we meet with here in this passage is Mara with its disappointments. It was God who was directing them, and yet, verse 23 says, and when they came to Mara, they could not drink of the waters of Mara, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Mara, which means bitterness. Now, let me ask you, my friend, when you first trusted Christ as your Savior, life seemed to take on a new meaning. Your life was entirely changed. You were happy. But isn't it true that you hadn't gone long on the way when you came across certain things that proved to be a disappointment? You know, if there is one thing that God seems to strike against and speak against, is this. God simply hates His people to murmur. Yet, when they came to Mara, they could not drink of the waters of Mara, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Mara. And the people murmured. They murmured against Moses, the man who was leading them, saying, what shall we drink? Murmuring. When you come over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10, there we find a warning to the people of God about murmuring. So it's obvious that one of the things that was wrong in the church at Corinth was this, they were murmuring. And this is a sin that provokes God. Notice now, they quickly forgot that God was the God of the waters. Wasn't it God who divided the Red Sea, brought them safely through on dry land? The God who could control the sea could surely supply them with water to drink. Oh, but they had forgot this. How quickly had they forgot the power of God as it was demonstrated in Egypt? How quickly they forgot how God had controlled the waters of the Red Sea? And so therefore they begin to murmur. They turned against Moses, their leader, and they blamed him. Now remember, Moses was acting as God's spokesman. It was the Lord who was leading them. Moses was taking his directions from the Lord. And he was giving them leadership. Now, if they had acknowledged the lordship of God, if they had bowed to the leadership of Moses, if they had learned their lesson to depend on God, they wouldn't have murmured. But oh, how easy it is for us to forget these things, and also to fall into this sin of murmuring. And so they knew not what to do in their disappointment and confusion. See, they forgot God, they turned against Moses, and there seems to be a lot of confusion, and they're saying, well, what shall we drink? Now, at this particular point, it is a blessing, of course, that they did speak to Moses, for he in turn could speak to the Lord. And here we're introduced to a miracle. In connection with these two things, there is the prayer of Moses and the provision of the Lord. You know, when they spoke to Moses, Moses knew how to cast the burden upon the Lord. For verse 25 says, "And he cried unto the Lord." May I ask you, my friend, when you're faced with a problem in life, do you know how to cast your burden upon the Lord? He did. And then it led to the provision of the Lord. And at this particular point, notice a new principle is introduced, and that which was bitter is made sweet. For when he cried unto the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. May I ask you, my friend, in the midst of your problems, in the midst of your difficulties, do you ever try to relate them to the cross of Christ? If we are ever tempted to speak of our sufferings and what we have had to suffer, may I ask you, my friend, do you ever think of what the Lord suffered for us when he was despised and rejected? It was while he was on the cross, he said, "I thirst." Think of what the Lord passed through and the principle of the cross and the sufferings that Christ endured on our behalf will help to sweeten the difficulties that we have got to face. So therefore cast your burden on the Lord as Moses did. Listen to the directions from the Lord, and that which was bitter may be made sweet. But then there is the message from Mara. The God who could heal the bitter waters could also heal the bitter soul, but the principle must be observed. Listen to the word of God and walk in the ways of God. See, Moses had to listen, first of all, to what God had to say. Then he had to act upon the directions given from God. And when he did so, then the bitter things were made sweet. And sometimes in the bitter experiences of life, if we can just take time to speak to the Lord, cast our burden upon the Lord, listen to what he has got to say, act upon his word, and you may find also the bitter things will become sweet. Now, in verse 26, there's a very interesting principle laid down, and surely we also can apply it to ourselves. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Remember then, God expects us to be willing and to be obedient. He wants us to give our ear to what he has to say, and he wants us to live our lives in obedience to his commandments. Let us look then at the closing verse, "And they came to Elim." Here we have Elim with its delights, the place of refreshment for the thirsty. God provided 12 wells so that each tribe would have a good supply. No cause for jealousy, no one need go thirsty, a well for each tribe. The place of rest for the weary. Palm trees were an indication of an oasis in the wilderness, and a place where the weary travelers could rest under the shelter of the trees. And there were 70 of them, and now if the span of life is 70, my friend, we can have a palm tree for every year. There's a place of retreat for the distressed. The bitter experience of Mara was something they met with in passing, but at Elim they were allowed to encamp, there to renew their strength and partake of that which was a sample of things to come. You know, you can go into a shop today and you can buy flowers. In that shop you can buy a bouquet for the bride to take on the day of her wedding, flowers to rejoice with. And in that same shop you can buy a wreath to take to a funeral, flowers for rejoicing, flowers in times of sorrow, sold in the same shop. Here in the same verses, we have Marah with its disappointments, but thank God we have Elam with its delights. Don't let us dwell at Marah, let us dwell at Elam with its palm trees and its wealth.